Amen, preacher. That, he said, that's my brother on that piano. And it's a small world, ain't it? But they bless my soul. Stacy, when I was up there with them, I asked Ken, I said, Mountain View number one, is there a number two? Oh, yeah, he said they're number two. And I've been there a night or two. Month of March, come off with snow you've ever seen in your life. I mean, 6 inches of snow fell while we was in the church. Got bound back down Morgan and wasn't nothing, you know. Thank you for inviting me, Scott. I don't take this lightly. I think about all of the men out here you could have called. Glad, thank God, I got to come these nights. My kind of crowd. I don't fit in with all of them. Don't take them long to learn that either. But it's a blessing when you get invited back, ain't it? Now, my wife's done give me my instructions and... Not that I listen that much. I have to depend on her more these days than I ever did, though. I got to be a little careful. I used to tell her, I'd say, you stir to the gravy and let me preach. I don't say that much these days because she's the one that drives me. I've got my daughter and two grandsons, my son-in-law, and we picked up some of their friends. Stand up, folks. I got quite a few traveling with me back here. Get up and let them look at you. Don't mess with me. Got my bodyguard back there, Herman. Now, he... Ken told me one time, Scott, he said he went to take karate lessons. Said that man looked at him and said, my Lord, what do you need to know anything about karate for? And you believe Herman teaches it, though. And a lot of them little fellers. But it's a joy to be here and feel God in this place, boy. Thank God for the old-time way. Amen. That's how it's getting the job done these days. Yes. Preacher told me here a while back, he said, boy, we need to get back to the old time way. I said, speak for yourself, buddy. I never did leave it. Yeah. Hallelujah. You find something work, stay with it, huh? But I appreciate this meeting. And thank God for what I feel. I feel it a-coming, Scott. Hallelujah. If you've got a Bible, you want to follow in the scripture, turn, if you will, please, to the book of Deuteronomy. Second chapter of Deuteronomy. One thing I like about this meeting, you don't have to worry about this newfangled version stuff. I said the two things I go looking for in churches I've never been before. And if I see these two things, preacher, I know I'm going to be all right. King James Versions and that old redback church hymnal. And I know I'm going to fit in. Hallelujah. Now, Moses is speaking here. Verse 27 is what I'm interested in tonight. And we'll look at some other scripture. Perhaps as I get into this message now this evening. He's speaking to this Heshbonite king by the name of Sihon. And Israel's on the move, you see. They're out of Egypt. And got that 40 years of wilderness almost behind them. And the Bible has said here in the first verse that they compassed Mount Seir many days. I don't know how many, but many days they've been circling that mountain. And God said, Moses, it's enough. Turn ye northward. Now, when they turned northward, where are they headed? The promised land, buddy. Yes, sir. He's traveling through this old king's territory. And so he goes to Sihon and he said, let me pass through thy land. He said, I'll go the way of the highway. And he said, I'll turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. Father, take your word and accomplish that, sir. You'd have done with it. I'll praise you and glorify you for what's accomplished. Lord, it stands to reason the crowd this size, there's people here lost. None done without God. I pray that conviction would fall tonight and they'd be liberty in this place. Dear God, for them to walk these aisles and get around this old altar and invite Jesus into their heart and make a reservation for glory in Him. Others with numerous other needs, God, I pray they bring them to you, sir. Find help at thy hand. Which in Jesus' name I do humbly pray. Amen. And you can be seated. They quit circling that mountain and headed north. And they're headed for the promised land. Let me go one step further than that. They're on the home stretch. They've almost got 40 years behind them in that wilderness. It ain't long until they're going to cross that Jordan River. They're on the home stretch. Scott, I believe tonight with all my heart we're on the home stretch.
I believe it, Doc. Yes, sir.
I don't believe it's going to be long till we see the gates of that city.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Boy, I don't know about you. I wouldn't hardly turn my hand over tonight. Amen. Just go looking for old Brother Ken somewhere inside that gate, boy. Hallelujah. Now, let's get the picture here. What's happening? God does have a picture for us. Here's God's people headed for God's land. Passing through heathen territory. Ain't that exactly where we're at tonight? We're God's people headed for God's land, traveling through heathen territory. And they don't like us. I mean, there's a difference in the people of God and the devil's crowd. And they don't like the difference. They think they want rid of us, but they don't really. But when we check out, it's all hell on earth for that crowd. They'd be trying to hang on to us if they knew what was going to take place. But we're a despised crowd tonight. They despised Jesus. They crucified him. And they ain't going to like nobody that sides with him. No, sir. And so here they are. Now I begin to notice that God gave them instruction here, Scott, right, for the journey.
Amen. Yeah.
He told them what to do and what not to do.
Right.
And the closer I looked at it on the wall of my mind, the more I became aware of the fact those same marching orders apply to us tonight, church.
Amen.
I mean right down to the last detail.
Amen.
They apply to me and you tonight on our journey home.
Yeah.
I just like to preach a little while tonight, God being my helper on God's instruction on the highway home.
Amen.
Now these ancient kings built highways, elevated roads, and the common man couldn't travel them. They was built for the king and his crowd. And if you've ever traveled in that part of the country, you can understand why they did that. I sat in a motor coach waiting 45 minutes for some shepherd to make up his mind if he's going to move his sheep out of the road or not. I sat in a motor coach waiting on a bunch of camels to make up their mind whether they're going to vacate the highway or not. And so these kings built them private highway, boy. And they didn't have any hindrance on their road. Now it's beginning to make sense. Old Moses said to Sihon here, he said, I'll go by the way of along the highway. And turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now, they had a prescribed route God was instructing Moses to travel. An appointed way. He's got an appointed way for you and me, the King's Highway, buddy.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now he said, don't turn to the right nor to the left. He said, don't get sidetracked.
Amen.
Don't take no detours. Stay on the King's Highway.
Amen.
Now I'd take you to a bunch of people in the mountains tonight. If they did get saved somewhere, they'd been sidetracked, mister. For if you're on the King's Highway, it'll take you through the house of God on the Lord's day, buddy. If you're traveling the King's Highway, it'll take you to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And if you're finding yourself down at the flea market on Sunday morning, you ain't traveling the King's Highway. You say, I don't like you. He didn't like my Lord. They crucified him. Yes, sir. I mean, some of this crowd, if they did get saved, they something bad wrong. God made a difference in my life, Scott, and he saved me. I mean, that crowd down to the house of God used to look funny to me, got to looking good to me. I got to want to hug them. I got to want to go to church with them. I got to want to fellowship with them. I got to want to eat some Chinese with them, Stacy, huh? Me and him put that stuff away, buddy. I told him, I said, I don't believe in Buddha. If we don't stay out here, we're going to look like him. They can do more with a chicken than anybody I know of, can't they, brother? Yes, sir. But I mean, if you find yourself out yonder in the bleachers at a racetrack, or some sporting event, you ain't traveling the King's Highway. I mean, God makes a difference. The Bible has said he doth put a difference between the Egyptian and the Israelites. And he's still making that difference. And they don't like us.
Huh?
So there's an appointed way we're to travel. And then he said, abstain from the world. That's verse 5. Meddle not with them. You know what that word meddle means? To mix and mingle. He said, don't mix and mingle with the Moabites. Don't mix and mingle with the Heshbonites, Perizzites, Girgashites. You're separate people. Don't meddle with them. Do you know they some church folks has done gone so far, mixed and mingled so much with the Moabites, they're addressing like them. I mean, they've mixed and mingled now so much, they're talking like them. Acting like them. Hey, they some done mixed and mingled so much with the Moabites, they done drug Moabite music into the house of God. Yes, sir. God said, don't let it happen. Don't mix and mingle with that crowd. Don't meddle with them. Now, pray tell me, why would they want to? Pleasure and delight. I mean, here's a young Israelite man. He sees a beautiful Moabite girl. God said, be careful. Don't meddle with them. So that's a doctrine of Balaam. Old Balaam was too much of a low-down, rotten, stinking coward to put a curse on Israel. But he told them how they could beat them in battle. They get them tangled up with the enemy of God. That's a doctrine of Balaam. Yes, sir. Avoid the world. I said a whole lot in the world's got the church in, the church got the world, you can't hardly tell them apart no more.
Amen.
Pleasure and delight. But think about it for a moment. My Lord, here's people who wore the same shoes 40 years, Scott, and ain't wore out. What are you going to do to thrill a man like that? I mean, here's people's been drinking water out of a rock. Been going out in the morning picking up that manna. Right? What are you going to do to thrill a man like that? I'm trying to tell you, Hollywood ain't got nothing to thrill me. I done seen too much. I wouldn't trade what I feel around here tonight for nothing Hollywood can offer me. My Lord, we don't have to turn to that junk. Lord God, give me an old time revival, boy. Amen. The world ain't got nothing can do for me. These people wearing the same shoes for 40 years. Begin to wonder about their intelligence trying to look to the Moabite, wouldn't you? The Heshbonites in that crowd. Huh? Took my little old grandsons, two Leastons, 2 or 3 years ago to the Appalachian Fair. Well, they drugged me over, you know, where they got the rides. I didn't do much of that with my youngins, let alone my grandchildren. They had a thing there. I mean, it was a column about 100 feet high, with a circle of seats around it. And they're strapping them in. Come here, Pappy. You ain't getting me on that thing, boys. But I watched them strap them people in that thing. And they pulled it up about 100, 150 feet in the air and dropped it. Free fall. I mean 100, 150 feet straight down, boy. Got about 6, 8 feet in the ground. The brake caught it or something, you know. Them people screamed from the top to the bottom. Now, a man that got off something like that, do you think the merry-go-round is going to be much of a thrill?
That's all right, Tommy. Yeah.
Lord, have mercy. Here's people been drinking water out of a rock.
Amen. Amen.
Picking up manna, boy. Yes, sir. Wearing them same shoes, and them not wearing out. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. I mean, you just try it sometime. You start tithing if you ain't. Putting God where God positionally belongs. See if he won't rebuke the devourer for your sake. That blacktop won't eat your tires up as quick. That's right. A fella asked me one time, Stacy, he says, people in your church tithe. I said, every last one of them. Well, he said, I ain't never heard of nothing like that. I said, every last one of them. I said, some of them, God has to take them down to the automobile mechanic, but he gets it. Some of them, he has to take over to Spruce Pine Hospital, but he gets it. Be a whole lot easier to lay it in that basket, wouldn't it? Well, you preached all night and not brought that up, Bob. I'll guarantee you one thing, Jesus here, he'd see something about it. He had more to say about material possessions than he did heaven and hell. You know why? Because he knew people had let that stand in their way and keep them out of heaven. He'd bring it up tonight. Yes, sir. So here they are. I mean, out yonder. Boy, I thought about something the other day, preacher. Never had dawned on me before. You know, God told Moses to take a lamb from the house. The house be too little for the lamb, share the lamb. Well, I found out the average lamb feed 10 people. And if you just had 8 in your household, then you're supposed to take enough for 2 over and share it with your neighbor. And if you had 12, you had to hope somebody would think about you, you know, and share the lamb. By the way, that's what I'm doing here tonight, sharing the lamb. And I got to think about, boy, if the house be too little for the lamb, they're enough lamb. Man, I run preached on, he's lamb enough. You know, when I was growing up, sometimes mom would have an apple pie, but there wouldn't be enough. And bless her heart, sometimes mama wouldn't be hungry so I could have another piece. Sometimes, you know, we'd have cube steak and wouldn't be enough, Scott. Mama wouldn't be hungry. So I get full.
Yes, yes.
But I thought about those Israelites yonder in Passover evening. There wasn't no shortage of lamb.
Right. Amen.
There's lamb enough.
Amen.
You know how much lamb there was? To save the whole household, buddy. Everybody in that house safe, wasn't he?
Amen.
There's lamb enough. And then something dawned on me that I never thought about, never heard nobody mention. They ate that lamb. But out yonder in the wilderness, they ate manna, except for the occasion God flew in quail. But they didn't have no more lamb. Huh? no more lamb all the way to promise. 40 years, no more lamb. You know why? He is enough lamb to get them home. Hallelujah. Jenny, you know what? April 16th, 1953, buddy, I picked up enough lamb at that old time fashion altar, boy, to get me home. I'm telling you tonight, he's enough lamb, thank God, for the journey home. They didn't have another bite of lamb. They'd had enough, thank God. He's a big lamb, ain't he? He's a sufficient lamb, thank God. I don't know why they wanted to mix and mingle, no how, do you, with that crowd. But before we too hard on them, we got to be careful, ain't we? I mean, the church is trying everything in this world. They watch how the world does it to get a crowd. And they try to go down that same road to draw them in, you know. God said, don't do that. Huh? I tell you what, if that book don't get them in, you as well forget it.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
If a man can take a hot dog and get him in, I'd take a hamburger and take him away from him.
Amen.
But if that book gets them, you've got them. They're God, ain't they? Don't meddle with them. Don't look at the world and how they're doing it.
Amen.
We've got our marching orders.
Amen.
Meddle not with the Moabites, the Heshbonites, Perizzites, Girgashites, and that crowd. Verse 9. Contend not with them. Not only abstain from the world, but he's saying avoid war. Huh? Don't go out there and pick fights with that enemy crowd. Avoid, contend not. Ain't that what he said? Verse 9. With that crowd. Now, I'll have to admit, the older you get, the easier it is to pick a fight. I told him over at Stacy's, I said, you'd be surprised what I get by with these days and blame it on my medicine. I was telling his crowd, I said, I get road rage in the checkout line. Yes, sir. I mean, here a while back again, there wasn't but one open. And I tell you, if there's three, I'll always get the bad one. But there wasn't but one open. And here I am, and that woman up there, her carb wouldn't work. And so they done had it rung up, and she didn't have no money. So she had to go to an ATM while we waited. Man, I tell you what, if looks could inflict pain, I'd have had her screaming. Yes, sir, I guarantee you. Hey, you can't beat nobody into heaven, but you can love them into heaven. That's what God's telling us. Don't contend. Don't fight them.
Amen.
Yeah. They get enough of that in the devil's crowd, in their crowd. You'll shock them into salvation. You start loving on them. Yes, sir. As a preacher friend of mine told me that he got a waitress here a while back that was as rude as she could possibly be. He said, he told her, honey, I don't have a fork. So she went over somewhere and got a fork and brought it and just slammed it down right at his plate, you know. And said, every little old thing, you know, just like she's mad at everything and everybody. He said, I'm going to fix this. He said, and he got up and left. He left $10 tip. He said that young lady run him out into the parking lot of crying. Mister, I need to ask your forgiveness the way I've been acting. You can't fight love.
That's right. Amen.
It'll whip you to the ground, set on you.
Amen.
Huh? Boy, it's easy to fight back animosity and hatred, ain't it? You can't fight love. It'll whip you down to the ground as sure as this world, man. You know, I don't do much of this counseling. I have people ask me, "Person, you counsel?" I say, "Yes, sir." Every Sunday morning about 11 o'clock and every Sunday night. If you'll make those sessions, you won't need much else. But sometimes I have these fellows come, "You know, I believe she's going to leave me, preacher. What can you advise me?" I said, "You ever try loving her?" Husbands, love your wife. Yes, sir. Even as Christ loved the church. That'll work, man. Yes, sir. Don't contend with them. Don't fight them. Now listen, he ain't just talking to Moses and that crowd. He's talking to me and you.
Right.
Traveling the King's Highway tonight.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
Yes, sir. We got to be careful in this thing.
Yeah.
Verse 6. More instruction. Buy your water. Pay for your meat. Boy right here is acting with some wisdom. Thank God I don't have to bum, borrow, beg.
Amen, Doc.
Amen.
God take care of us, preacher.
Right, Doc. Yes,
sir. Ain't it a shame that some churches won't pay their preacher enough? He's got to go down to a heathen crowd and say, "Would you give a preacher a discount?"
Oh, Lord.
Huh? I'm trying to help you, fellas. You ought to be shouting, praising God. Huh? That's a shame and a disgrace. Hey, what God sent, don't get obligated to that heathen crowd. You accept favors from the heathen, and buddy, he'll call it in on you. Somewhere down the road. I had an old boy call me one day and he said, "Preacher Bob," he said, "boy, you can't believe," he said, "that church I've taken," he said, "there a man in there puts a $100 bill in my pocket every Sunday morning." I said, "Watch him." Watch him. I told him right. He called me back crying. Fella trying to tell him what to preach, Stacy. You know how far that man went? He told that preacher, he said, "Don't preach out of the Old Testament. That ain't for us." He said, "Don't be preaching out of the Old Testament no more." Boy, $100 got to burning, I'd say, long about then, didn't it? God knew junk like that had happened. He said, "Buy your water. Pay for your meat. Don't get obligated to that crowd." I was preaching for a fellow in Glasgow, Kentucky. And old Brother Rick said, "Brother Bob, I need to get the oil changed in my truck. You got time to go with me?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll go with you." Went down in Glasgow to this mechanic. Big sign up there in those days said, "Oil change, oil and filter, $14.95. Boy, you can't get that down home. I wouldn't get my hands dirty for that, Rick. And told the fellow he need to change the oil. He did. Rick took out $20. And, "Oh," he said, "preacher, I ain't taking your money." "Oh," Rick said, "you are too. He said, give me change for his 20, whatever I've got coming out of it, or I'm going to give you the whole thing. I don't want to take your money. Yes, you're taking my money. Boy, that fella gave him some change out of that 20. We was riding down the road. Rick said, you're probably wondering why I wouldn't let him do that for me. I said, yeah, Rick, I am. I'd probably took his oil change. Kept going. He said, Brother Bobby ain't right with God. Said he's out of church. And said, if I took that favor, that would have eased his conscience. And he said, I ain't about to ease his conscience. I'm going to let God work on him. And he paid for it. Boy, that's wisdom, Scott.
Huh?
God said, buy you water. Pay for your meat. Don't accept favors from that heathen crowd.
Amen.
They'll call it. Now, I said to heathen crowd, some of you won't give me $20, I'll thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. So mama didn't raise no dummy, Stacy. Amen. That'd buy me and you some Chinese, wouldn't it? Yes, sir. All this instructions for the journey home. They're on the home stretch, man. I believe with all my heart that's where we're at tonight. We're God's people headed for God's land in heathen territory. Thank God we headed home. Man, I'm glad that another verse God's holding out in front of me tonight, verse 7. For the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. Boy, don't you like this? He knoweth.
Amen.
Knoweth what? Ain't nothing he don't know.
Amen.
He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. The Lord thy God hath been with thee these 40 years.
Yep.
Listen to this. And thou hast lacked nothing. Anybody say amen right there?
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Lord thy God has been with thee.
Amen.
These 40 years.
Amen.
You lack nothing. And here they are, boy. Last leg of the journey, home stretch. Just about to cross the river.
Amen.
Land flowing with milk and honey.
Amen.
I guarantee you, we're closer than we think tonight.
Amen.
Place. Close with this. Godly young man worked in a factory. He had one of these heathen supervisors. That supervisor came in his own break, just an hour left of that shift. That ungodly supervisor came in and him on break. Said, shift's about over, and here's what I want you to do, and here's what I want you to do. Now, I want it done before you leave. He's sitting there with a friend. The supervisor left, and he said, how can you put up with that? He said, I've noticed how he treats you. And said, why do you continue to be kind to him and put up with that? He said, friend, in 1 hour, I'm going to punch that clock and I'm going home.
Amen. Amen.
And when I get home, I'm out from under his jurisdiction.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, I'm about ready to punch out, Scott. If the devil's going to make it rough on me, he better get on with it. It's about punching out time. If he's going to make it rough on me, he better get on with it, man. I'm going to punch out before long. Step inside that gate and say, well, if it ain't old Brother Ken Frady. See, he beat me already punched out. Shift ended for him. It's going to end for us. We're punching out. We're going home. Yes, sir, buddy. Meantime, I want to try to follow the Lord's instructions as I travel the King's Highway. Going home. Don't mix and mingle this heathen crowd. Stay where God can use you. My Lord, why would they want it to? I didn't see one of them people get off that thing, just fell 100 feet and get on the merry-go-round. I mean, how are you going to thrill a man after something like that? Boy, God's blessed us, ain't he? He's done so much for me, the world ain't got nothing to thrill me, buddy. Getting before a crowd with that book right there, buddy, greatest thrill I can feel on this earth. Feeling what I feel, hearing people of God that loves God, wants to live for God and do the right thing. That's the greatest thrill we can ever know in this world. Some old boys have done very well in life and become very successful businessmen. Called around and got together for a luncheon one day, sharing how much money they've made and how successful their businesses were. One of them said, ain't it strange? He said, I grew up poor. And he said, somebody gave me a half a dollar. In those days, big old coin. And he said, you know what? He said, it's amazing the chores that I'm supposed to do that my little sister do for me just to get to hold that coin. Said one day, she minded the cattle all day in my place just to get to carry that coin. And they all had him a good life except one. He wasn't laughing. He said, men think about it, how we're laboring and serving just to get to hold this stuff for a while. But the end of the day is coming. We're going to have to give it up. But ain't you glad one day, child of God, you got a hold of some things eternal. It's going to last and this world's on fire, mister. Glory to God. Let's stand on this tabernacle. Where's my musicians at, brother? Come maybe lead us in song a little bit. I don't know how God's speaking to you. Don't know what he's saying to your individual heart. I never take for granted everybody's saved. Here tonight, lost and undone without God, he'll save you. You can get around this old altar and pick up enough lamb tonight to get you home. Come on to Jesus. Somebody else, it's another need with you. Somebody just needs to come talk to the good Lord about these instructions. Declaring unto him how bad you need his help to carry out his instructions. As we travel this last lap, I feel like, of the journey down the home stretch home, buddy. Now, considering where we're at, folks, in this thing tonight, you like I am, you've got loved ones that's lost and undone without God, going to die and go to hell. Would you like to come one more time, get around this old altar and call that name to God tonight? God will bring conviction. They cry out for mercy and get right with God before they die and go to hell. Thank you. somebody else, it's another need altogether.